Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
Ever wonder if your coming to faith in Christ was an accident or a coincidence or just maybe a good choice on your part? Not a chance. In Acts chapter 8, God went to unusual lengths to get the gospel to a needy Ethiopian. And you know what? He did the same for you and me. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer comes again to teach us that when God is first, He owns our appointments, those crucial meetings God sets up with those who need to hear the gospel and be converted.
One of the reasons you find people who are so driven oftentimes is because they're trying to cover the emptiness in their lives that they will not face. Here's a man who in Jerusalem experienced religion but not reality, form but not fulfillment, law but not grace. He was introduced to Judaism but not to Jesus. And he met the priests who offered sacrifices, but he left without any peace. Doesn't that describe many, many people in Chicago and in the cities of this nation? They go to the temples, they go to the synagogues, they go to the mosques, they go to the cathedrals, they go to the churches, but they're empty. It's just a forum, just a forum. I was in Winnipeg this week for a few moments, passing through to visit my parents, who incidentally are doing well. My mother had her 95th birthday. And my father, as you know, is 101. The day I arrived, the first thing he said to me after I gave him a hug was, he said, "Yesterday I read the entire book of Ephesians from beginning to end." That's not bad for 101. That's pretty good, I'd say. I'll tell you this, I don't expect to be reading the book of Ephesians at 101. But in the airport, I met a woman from England, and I began to strike up a conversation with her, and then it was interrupted, and it didn't exactly go as far as I had hoped. She was on her way to England. I was on my way to the other direction. But I asked her whether she attended church, and she said, "No, very few people in England attend church, maybe 2 or 3%. What I was going to say to her is, I cannot imagine anything as boring as church. Can you imagine anything as boring as church if you don't know God? I mean, what could be more boring? I'm surprised that we have as many people in churches sometimes than we do. Because unless you're connected with God, unless you're introduced to Jesus, it's got to be boring. Do you realize that there are millions of people in Chicago who know Jesus like I know Michael Jordan? I've read what he can do. I know his abilities. I know a little bit about his history. I know where he fits. I know about his fame. But I've never met him. I've never looked into his eyes. We've never shared a cup of coffee together. I can't really say I know him. I know of him, but I do not know him. And the answer to the emptiness of our lives is to know him. I love the text that says Peter began at that text and began to preach unto him. He wasn't just sharing. Now, we share today. Everything is shared. Nobody preaches. We just share. And that's fine. Just share. But it says he preached Jesus to him. God sends us. God guides us. God guides us. And then God works through us. God works through us. You know, they're traveling along and they get to talk about the gospel, and he tells them the good news about Jesus. It says in verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Where did he get that idea from? Philip must have told him that when you accept Christ as Savior, you should identify with Christ through baptism. Philip probably told him that. And there is a verse, verse 37, that does not occur in some of the earliest manuscripts. Perhaps a scribe inserted it to help us here a little bit, to fill in a gap, because the verse that's inserted says that Philip said, "If you believe with all of your heart, you may." And the eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Now, even though that particular verse may not have been a part of the original text, clearly something like that happened along this desert road. The eunuch believed in Jesus. And the minute he believed in Jesus, he wanted everybody in his caravan to know that he was a Christian. So he says, "Stop the chariot, because there's water here. I want to be baptized." I'm amazed at the number of born-again Christians who talk their way out of obedience to Jesus when it comes to baptism. They've got every excuse in the book. They say, "Well, you know, I am saved. You don't need to go to heaven," which is true, "but you need to be obedient to God and to Jesus." In the early church, there was no such thing as an unbaptized Christian. When people got saved, they were baptized. So don't talk your way out of baptism. And so he says, I want to go down into the water. I don't think he just had a couple of drops of water sprinkled on him, though we won't go there this morning. Simple fact is, he said, "I want to be baptized." Notice what the rest of the text is. Philip baptized him, verse 39, they came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. Was this a miracle? Was he just snatched away? It almost seems that way. Maybe it just simply means that the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Philip, you've got another assignment, leave him now." However, the eunuch did not see him again. I hope that they had enough time to say goodbye. But the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Wow, the burden had been lifted. You remember Bunyan in the Pilgrim's Progress talks about Christian finding an answer to the burden, to the emptiness, to the weight of guilt, to those flashes of guilt that come to our mind, to the recognition that we have sinned, that we are alienated from God, with all of the emptiness that that brings about. And then suddenly he gets to the cross and his burden is rolled, as it were, symbolically speaking, onto the cross. And he feels so much lighter because he has been converted. And so we have the story of a marvelous conversion. In the opening chapters of Acts, we have three very special conversions. Do you remember the families of the earth after the time of Noah were actually divided into three different categories? You have the family of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The Shemites were the Jews. In Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is converted. He was a Shemite. In this chapter, a Hamite, who migrated to Africa, he was converted. And in the 10th chapter, you have a Gentile, and that turns out to be the European nations, he representing them, he's converted. Because right in the early chapters of Acts, God wanted to show that the gospel is for all the families of the earth, whether you belong to Shem, to Ham, or to Japheth, whatever your origin, the converting power of God is for you. Now there are some lessons to take home, transforming lessons. The first is that it is God who takes a prepared heart and brings them together with a prepared servant. God brings them together. I've had that experience often in my life where just through the normal course of things, I've never had an angel speak to me. Sometimes I had no awareness of being directed by the Holy Spirit, and yet the Spirit of God was directing me to someone, maybe not just for the purpose of conversion, but a very important friendship or connection was made that had tremendous significance down the road that you couldn't see at this particular moment. That's happened in your life, that's happened in mine. And sometimes God reveals that to us in a very unique way. I remember being a student at Winnipeg Bible College and working in the mission, the downtown mission of Winnipeg. One evening, we were about to close up. No one was left, just a few students and the director, and we're going to close the door and go home. And a man comes running down the aisle and sees me and comes to me and says, "Please lead me to faith in Jesus." Please lead you to faith in Jesus. Tell me your story. So he told me, he said, I was hitchhiking. And he said, I was picked up by a trucker who witnessed to me and told me I had to believe in Jesus. And then when he dropped me off in Winnipeg, he said, when you get real desperate, go to the mission and they'll tell you how to get saved. So he said, I'm here to be told how to be saved. Wow. By the way, the Bible says one sows and another reaps. God gives the increase. That trucker sowed a seed. I happen to have the privilege of reaping the harvest, but it was God who saved him. And that's the way God does it.
You say, well, Pastor Luther, did that man receive Christ and was he changed right away? Yes. The new birth actually happens in a moment of time, as we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. But let me tell you, the new birth is a powerful experience. Now, you might not experience it all in your heart, but the Bible says he who is in Christ is a new creation. God creates something within us that wasn't there before. I'm holding in my hands a book entitled The New Birth. Now, this is the second to last day. We're making it available for you for a gift of any amount. Let me read some of the chapter titles. Chapter 1, A Matter of Life and Death. It sure is. Yes, we did surely die. We are all dead in trespasses and sins, and God has to resurrect us. We can't raise the dead. But spiritually speaking, Jesus Christ raises us from our deadness into spiritual life, which incidentally begins right now. Spiritual life, eternal life, isn't just something you experience in the life to come, though bless God, we'll experience it at that time, but rather it is something that God does and begins in our hearts at our conversion. The book talks about the spirit of life, paternity tests. By that, of course, we mean, do you have the marks of the new birth? What is your assurance based on? All those kinds of questions are answered. Now, here's why we want you to have a copy. Not only is it very clearly written, but also, after you have read it, surely you know somebody in your life who is searching for the truth. It's a very readable book entitled The New Birth by Peter Mead. I trust you'll take advantage of this opportunity for a gift of any amount.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of his message, He Owns Our Appointments, the last in his series, When God is First, taken from the Book of Acts. Next time, this series concludes, so plan to join us. Peter Mead has written a book about the need for the new birth, the dividing line between the saved and the unsaved. A copy of The New Birth will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about the new birth. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.